You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
I'm Sean the Orange Course, a retro game fan from the U.S.
And I'm Kevin Vink Tambernino, an import gaming fan who took things one step further and moved to Japan.
Together, we make Famicom Dojo, a podcast that explores the Japanese origins of today's video games and consoles.
And speculates about their future, assuming they have one.
It's modern games with a retro twist.
This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast.
This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, we are talking about the latest Nintendo mobile creators that's not by Nintendo, Pokemon Go. I told you the future retro are getting ridiculed almost daily by the gaming press, and Vink has a thing he forgot to tell me about before the show.
Yay! It's a future retro, but it's slightly shameful. We'll leave that as the tease.
Okay. Yes, we were born to play all these video games. Hey, Vink.
Hey.
Summer is finally over. I mean, you wouldn't know it by my jaunty little getup here that everyone else can see but you.
Well, I'll just imagine it.
Someone should take a picture and send it to Vink. Yeah, it looks pretty good. I mean, if you've seen our Summer Dojo promo video, you've seen the outfit, more or less. But I added socks to the sandals.
Oh, that's a problem, though, because I never watch our videos.
Oh, that makes sense. Hey, how's it been going this summer?
I'm in Japan, so summer is like... I mean, the season is the normal length of a season, but I work most days, so...
Yeah, I hear you.
It's been very sweaty. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, I've been getting a lot of exercise. I don't know about you.
Exercise. Sure. I cycle.
Is that under 12 miles an hour or over?
I see where you're going there.
Yeah.
You're talking about that mobile craze that all the kids are into.
Yep.
Take a poll of the audience.
Who's playing Pokemon Go? Only three of you. Well, hopefully we can convince you to play it after this podcast.
Or convince you not to.
I should probably mention that we're live at Nerd and Tie 2016.
Oh.
That's right. It's exciting.
Oh my gosh, we're
the first panel of the morning because Vink has to be up late to record with us.
Yes, it is past midnight here.
Not by too much, though. Thankfully, daylight savings time is not over yet, or it would be much later for you.
Now, since I can't see the audience, I'm imagining about 300, maybe 400 people. Am I pretty close?
That would be more than the attendance of the convention so far, so probably not.
All right.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes you see a band and like you've got people who are really like following the band and they're like, man, they're so much better live. You know what? We are way better taped.
Yeah. I'm better taped to my chair so I can't escape.
All right.
It makes it hard to play Pokemon Go though. See how I brought it back around there?
Ooh,
use my
I
hands
like
for that. Looks like a baby's toy.
You see? I try as hard as I can to digress, and he just brings us back. That's his role here.
I'm the official bringer backer.
Yes.
So this game has been pretty fun. I have been walking around as much as I can to go to Pokestops and find Pokemans out in the wild there. And I've been hearing from people it's been really good for their mental health, which I wouldn't have thought from a video game, right?
Really? Because I think a great deal of stress in my life comes from this app.
That's true. You should not drive and play this game, which they remind you when the game starts up, but I guess that wasn't enough for some people, because now if you go too fast... it will warn you that you're going too fast. But that's happened to me sometimes when I'm not moving at all. How about you?
Yep. Oh yeah, I mean it'll warn me when I'm going too fast when I'm not moving. So you know I kind of like it though. I kind of like it because it's like trying to tell me, you know what? I think it's just being sarcastic. You know what I mean? I'm sitting on the sofa. I'm eating popcorn. I'm not doing anything, and I load up Pokemon Go, and it's like, are you driving the car or are you a passenger? I think it's just trolling me.
I know you're not moving. Yeah, it seems like it's just a problem with the GPS locator, and it can't tell when you're actually moving versus when it's just like misreading your position, and then it will yell at you. So all I got to say to that is Pokemon, go home, you're drunk.
Pokemon, go home, you're drunk. Indeed.
Oh, we're going to keep making more of them.
Here. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Pokemon Go, I am standing on the landmark you have pictured as a Pokestop, and I have stopped moving. According to this display, I am still walking on a street that doesn't exist. Pokemon, go home, you're drunk.
All right. Oh, my favorite is I'm like level 20 now, right? So like I want to catch a CP10 Pidgey for candy, and it seems like, well, it's like, oh, why? Why did you break out of that? No, stop picking at me, you little... Pokemon, go home, you're drunk. Wasted
Indeed.
5 Pokeballs on you.
Okay. I've been walking for 5 kilometers. I used most of my day, and an egg is finally hatching right now, and it's a freaking Magikarp. Pokemon, go home. You're drunk.
He can be your buddy now. He's my buddy right now. I'm going to get the 400 yet. Yeah.
Now, I haven't filled up the 5 kilometers ever yet. I've got a Snorlax, by the way.
Oh, nice.
But what? How many candies do you get for that? If it's one, I'm just going to uninstall this.
You get one per kilometer that you move.
It's for the 5K ones. You get one candy for the 5K.
So you're going to walk 400 kilometers to level up a Magikarp.
I guess the Magikarp in specific just requires one. There's other ones that require more.
Snorlax is 5K per.
Yeah, so you do Snorlax 5K. Snorlax is 5K.
Yeah. If they come out of a 10K egg, they're 5K. Like if they come out of a 2K, it's 1K.
Oh.
5K one in the middle is.
If. Okay, so that's amazing. I've actually been running lately, and then so if you run 5 kilometers at a time, then they can hatch a whole mess of eggs, especially if you take the time in the middle to check, just to make sure. Unfortunately, the app has to be off or has to be running for that to happen, and it drains my battery. Pokemon, go home, you're drunk. But apparently, there's a brand new peripheral out called the Pokemon Go Plus. Which sounds like a subscription service, doesn't it?
It really does.
We got one. How many people have those right now? Yeah. There's 3 in this audience right here. I don't have one. It's like $35. I'm not entirely clear what you're supposed to do with it. Although...
Is it out?
It's out. Although they did have
How do I get...
How do you get it?
How do I get it?
Well, I mean, you're in Japan, so I could send you one, or... I think it's region locked? I hope it's not region locked.
Probably what the not. Heck is going on? I'm in Japan. Why do you have gadgets before I do?
Well, that reminds me.
Go home, Japan. You're drunk.
Right? Well, I think part of that has to do with how Pokemon isn't made by Nintendo. Dun, dun, dun.
Well,
okay, fine. The device is. That doesn't make any sense. But the game, this specific game is not made by Nintendo. As a bunch of investors found out when they decided to put a lot of stock in Nintendo after the popularity of the game, and then dumped it when they realized Nintendo's name didn't actually appear anywhere in the credits for the game.
Well, no. I mean, the Pokemon company is partially owned by Nintendo. I mean, the Nintendo is making... It comes out to like 10%, I think. You know, they're making something, and apparently Iwata had some input on the game when it was in its early development stages. So, I mean, they're not completely out of the picture, but it's you can tell it's not a Nintendo game because it's a glitchy mess.
I don't know what you mean, Pokemon. Let me drunk.
Are you vocalizing hashtags right now?
I might be. I'm trying not to say hashtag because that's not cool anymore.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to
bring
it back.
Not cool anymore.
Hashtag
fennel. that's an in-joke for the nerd and Thai crowd if you weren't here at opening ceremonies. Also, everything is my fault.
Everything's your fault?
It is.
Everything is Sean's fault.
Everything is my fault. I've accepted this.
Or the Neil. Oh, sorry.
What is that? I was going to retweet something. Okay, so... Yeah, this game clearly was not ready to be released, and... It's still fun, though, and the glitches weren't, like, going to get me to stop playing necessarily. But, oh, yeah, that was one of the other ones we had, too. It's like, I'm playing, I'm at a gym, I'm going to win, and I've crashed. Pokemon Go Home, you're drunk.
But don't worry, the game saves often enough so it still knows that your Pokemon were defeated.
Yeah.
So don't worry, it's got you half covered.
Well, gotta have that eventual data consistency. They've added a bunch of features, like I mentioned. They did the recent update for
trading,
Pokemon
battling
Go+.
Your friends, the things that make Pokemon Pokemon, have they added that?
No. But they will? Question mark? I mean, I don't know if it's supposed to use like NFC or Bluetooth or whatever to get that to work, but it's not in there yet. Like they had to work on like really basic things, like the gym's not crashing and the network not being slow and not being able to log in. Those were problems very, very early on. But after those got fixed, they took away features like what was the name of the website that did the Pokemon location?
Poke Radar.
Yeah. So there was a website that hooked something in like that. to the application to actually show you on a map where Pokemon were, and then they took that feature away, and then instead have this thing where they show you who's nearby next to some grass. Although I guess in some places they showed you the Pokestop that was nearby, and I still haven't seen an update like that in my area. Here in the Midwest.
I don't live anywhere near a Pokestop. That's the big problem for me.
Yes.
They used to have one at an elementary school near where I live, and I'd occasionally walk there, but someone must have requested that it get removed, so it's not there anymore.
Yeah, and that can happen. It's interesting, some businesses are leading into it and throwing lures on there. For those who somehow aren't playing this game and listen to this podcast, that will allow Pokemon to congregate in that area. So for anyone who's near the Pokestop, they will be able to catch what is showing up. And also, the way this works is that whatever pops up, anyone can catch it. It's not just like one and done, one person gets it and it's gone. No, it's like, I found a Clefairy, as Phil told me last night. Near my mom's house, and I did not see it, unfortunately. But anyone who was in the area should be able to see it and pick it off. So normally you pay like $1 for a lure, and so it's probably very economical for a business to throw $1 on there for 30 minutes, or just talk to Niantic directly and just say, hey, can we make some kind of deal where I can get this running all day? This game's been making a ton of money, which is why... did I mention it was free to play? Free to start?
Yeah.
Free to whatever. I haven't paid any money on this game myself yet. But
nope. Here's a nice thing about Pokemon Go. I refuse to pay any money into it, but I am working harder at it than I work at like actual jobs. Because I'll go and win a gym and put a Pokemon there and instantly cash out for my 10 coins? Like, yeah. I'll walk somewhere, do a battle, put in a good, I don't know, 90 minutes of work, and get what amounts to 10 cents worth of content.
Yeah, it's like mining bitcoins. It's like really, oh my god, I figured it out.
Yep. Hey, you know what? Here's one thing that I really like about Pokemon Go. It's getting kids off their feet, it's getting them outside, and it's getting them to go to McDonald's, which is a Pokestop.
Only in Japan.
Only in Japan, apparently, according to Phil.
Only in Japan? Really?
Yeah. Like, around here, it's random. Like, you know, so I didn't play Ingress. I don't know if you did.
Ingress, yes. It was in Japan, it was like Lawson convenience stores were the stops.
Okay. So I guess they use that data as the base layer for Pokemon. And speaking of monitoring you wherever you go, I think it was John Oliver or something like did this story about how like the founder of this company used to work for the NSA or some government agency, and like was like big into geolocation. So if you hear some crazy person say that Pokemon Go is just to track your every move, they're probably not too far off base. I'm just saying. And isn't it weird that it came out in the U.S. first? Where are those FEMA camps, Obama?
Sean, didn't you start this podcast by saying you were going to convince people to start playing this?
Sorry, yes. No, this is a great game. So, like, the stories of people, like, stopping traffic are, like, way overblown, or, like, you know, child predators throwing lures onto Pokestops and whatnot. What I have seen when this game started up was if you see some weirdo, like, walking around looking at their phone, they're probably playing this game. It's a pretty safe bet.
Yep.
And that's how you could tell. You could just see people everywhere you looked, like, even in this, like, small town where I live now. They're just people everywhere on their phones all the time. They can just, you know, if they look up from their phones, you can give them a nod. You know, everyone knows what you're doing.
Oh yeah, I was walking around the park near my house, and there's just a bunch of phone zombies like walking around, because there's two Pokestops within the park, one on one side of it, one on the other. So people are just walking back and forth for the 5 minutes it takes to walk, so they can just keep stocking up on Pokeballs. And we're just walking together, and you know, you kind of make eye contact. You're like, Pokemon Go, and they're like, Pokemon Go.
And I mean, you know, it is very social if you like go together, because the whole thing about gyms is the only way you can really fight in this game. And they're dotted all across, you know, the towns. You know, obviously not so much out in the rural area, so it's not so good for them, especially, again, where I live, all that farmland.
Yep.
But I'm sure in, like, Japan, it's a lot more dense and not so much of a problem. But even where I live, like, there aren't that many stops, like, on my way to work. Like, I have to go out of my way to hit them if I want to, you know, walk or bike and get those as I'm going. But if you, like, go around in packs and, like, deliberately, like, go to attack a gym together, like, you can literally, like, see each other fighting the different Pokemon that are stationed there, and then work your way up, because you can like a normal battle, you can like pick six, and then that's also a football term. You can pick six and go up the ladder until you knock them down, and then you know the more people you have helping you, the more that level goes down. And as levels go down, people get out of the gym until finally there's no one left, and then you can take the gem, and oh my god, Team Mystic got it first! Pokemon Go Home, you're drunk.
Mystic, yes! I heard a Mystic, yes. I am a Mystic.
There's a guy wearing a Nightwing shirt who looks like a Team Mystic shirt, so, you know.
There we go.
It works.
I was thinking of just, like, hanging out at a gym all day and just, like, making some badges. And, like, if people, like, beat the gym that I'm hanging out at all day, I'll just hand them out. No?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was a good idea.
There were chuckles. This does bring to mind, though, this, like, it brings a whole new meaning to training your game at the Pokemon gym. We should have thought of that. We just didn't think of it, I guess.
We were thinking about it. In fact, Pokemon Go is a total ripoff of our podcast.
Absolutely. Nintendo, we know you're listening. Nintendo, thank you for taking all of our great ideas and making them your own and not making a whole lot of money at it. It really makes us feel good. 10% is not a lot. That's like a manager's fee. They really, man, I don't know. But this game has also been kind of fuel for critics to show that because it's so insanely lucrative, that Nintendo should stop making consoles. Boo. That's right. Thank you.
I'm not even playing Nintendo, and I say boo.
I don't... What?
What? Wait. Someone has not played Nintendo? No. That's fine. Everybody's got to start somewhere. But what the hell are you doing in our panel?
He likes our show. What can I say? So
thank you very much.
Yeah, I lost train of thought again because I got my 3DS Sorry. out, but I've been playing Pokemon Go more than I've been, you know, using my 3DS and doing street passes at conventions lately. In fact, I was at Kalahari, and those who don't know, outside of this room and outside of our region where we're recording this, it is in a place called Wisconsin Dells. It is a big tourist trap, has water parks. Kalahari is an indoor water park, or it has one. It's a big hotel. I was there for a work conference, but this is also my first time to really play Pokemon Go because that place is littered with Pokestops everywhere. You just like walk up and down the hallways of those buildings, and you can just like make off. Like I was there for 3 days, and I went up like 7 or 8 levels just by like catching Pokemon, going to stops, battling the gyms and whatnot. And I didn't know about the coins at the time because I only have 10 now. But it's you know that's the aspect of this game that's really good. It's like you don't have to spend a lot of money at it, as long as you have
live in a hotel.
As long as you live in a hotel, which I'm sure is really cheap. Or just you know have a university nearby. Those are pretty good too. Or you know downtown areas, like historic downtown areas, have a lot of stops. So you know when you go to a stop, you get things like Pokeballs and potions and eggs and lucky eggs occasionally, which let you double your experience for about 30 minutes. Oh yeah, and that's another good tip for those who want to find out how to play Pokemon Go better. So what you got to do is you have all these like Pidgeys and Weedles and Rattatas. Hanging around, and they're useless, but they evolve really quickly at a very low threshold, like usually like 12 candies. So when you catch the stuff normally, you will transfer to the professor, and you get candy back, and it kind of makes you wonder, oh my god, Soylent Green is Pokemon. Pokemon Go Home, you're drunk. Man, that's...
Hashtags are not cool.
Right? So what you do is you get enough candy saved up, then you start saving these Pokemon up because you can get 250 at a time, although you can pay to have more in your inventory at once, which I don't necessarily recommend. Then once you've got enough of these going, you have a lucky egg, you turn it on and just evolve like crazy. And you can gain some levels pretty fast that way. So you're double XP, the evolutions all get double XP. Catching them if you're into catching them, but you should really just do the evolves because you should have enough candy on you. And I got 2 levels off of that once in the mid teens somewhere. So and I guess the higher you go after 20, the harder it is to level up because it exponentially increases in the amount of XP you need. So this trick can get you most of the way there at that point. So I recommend trying that if you haven't. You know, this game doesn't give you a lot of instructions. It still doesn't actually. So it's really hard to know how to play it, but I heard from people, I thought it was probably Phil, that it makes it kind of cool because like everyone else in the actual world is like an NPC in the game that like gives you hints about how to play the game. So that was a very good thing. I'm glad I gave you credit for it.
Okay. All right. Are you done mansplaining now? So
Was I mansplaining again? I'm so sorry.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how the terminology works exactly. But
I know I am a man, so I am told, and I was explaining something. That's
true,
how that works,
true.
Right?
I think so. I think that's the main thing. All right. So Pokemon Go, it's there, and it's.
And I'm still playing it all these months later, and like Miitomo.
Are you still playing Miitomo?
No.
No.
Which makes
the podcast we recorded about it that we still haven't put out kind of bad.
Yeah, so before the Summer Dojo started, we wanted to put some podcasts in the can, and then as it turned out, like working on the videos was a lot of work to take on, and so we didn't release anything that we recorded in the meantime. So it was about a month after Miitomo started, we finally recorded something, and we did this really clever thing where we got to pull it off of our phones so we did an intro in Miitomo. So that's part of the reason we haven't gotten it done yet. But by the time that comes out, we didn't know Pokemon Go was coming, right? So like a lot of things that we ended up saying in that show look really silly in hindsight.
I knew it was coming. I just didn't care.
Well, we didn't know it was going to be a huge hit like it was. Like we had no idea. So that'll come out before this one to the feed. So everyone who's here gets this wonderful sneak preview of the future of the podcast. Yeah! I mean, this is officially our comeback show, but the one that we recorded will be our other comeback show. But Sean, go home, you're drunk. Yeah, there aren't a lot of panels here. Oh, apparently there's an update for this. I'll explain it later. Anyway, yes, Pokemon Go is here to stay, it seems. Miitomo is not. I definitely haven't spent any money on that game and will not in the future. Although it, the whole My Nintendo account thing at least has been pretty cool. I don't have any gold. Oh, I do now because there was a free game, which might not be free anymore, for the Wii U that was on sale for $25. So every $5, $10, $20 or so gets you that many gold coins for My Nintendo, and this game was on sale, but you still get the coins for it. And I was able to download it from the website onto my Wii U, which is so cool for 2006. Because I remember doing this for my Xbox 360 back in the day. So I'm just glad Nintendo's finally caught up to the rest of the console market. And I'm going to probably eat those words when NX is finally announced.
You know what, though? If being caught up to the whole console market means more DLC and more pay to win and things like that, then I'll be happy if Nintendo gets farther behind the current console market. So,
yeah, let me back up. That's why I'm glad when they had the most recent Nintendo Direct that they announced Super Mario Run. Yeah, it's like it's an endless runner for iPhone and allegedly Android eventually. That is not free-to-play. You pay once and you are done. So I'm glad to see that Nintendo isn't going to do free-to-play and free-to-start for all of their non-Nintendo devices. That's very encouraging.
Well, I really hope that things like that will interact with Miitomo. That would bring me back, to tell you the truth.
I want games, more games to hook in and like get you some platinum coins at least, because that bit of interaction is nice, because you get general ones for the website and you get Miitomo specific ones for that game, which we explained in the previous podcast that no one listened to because we didn't release it yet. But I can see more games taking advantage of that, and maybe Mario Run will. Who knows?
All right.
Probably not, though. So should we move on then?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
Yes, we were born to play all this week again. Let's act on you,
hey, what's your favorite movie? This week it's My Favorite Too, even if it's Roadhouse.
Roadhouse is the story of a big city bouncer with the secret power to rip people's throats out who comes to a small town full of really dumb people to be a bouncer there.
This is 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie.
Listen to 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie every Monday on the Little Podcast Network.
Do you want to go first or should I?
I'll go first.
All right, what do you got for me? Shame me.
All right.
Future Retro is a segment where we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we've played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and try to convince each other if we should.
Or not.
I'll shame you because I bet you don't know this game, but
okay.
You should.
All right.
Let's see how cool our audience is. Has anybody heard of a Famicom game called Holy Diver?
I've heard of the song.
If that noise that I randomly heard in the back is people singing a Dio song, you're not far off.
Okay.
Well, you can play as Ozzy Osbourne, but
what?
Well, I mean, not directly, because that would require licensing. But Holy Diver is basically like, let me think. If you crossed Castlevania with like R-Type, like a shooter, and put in like a huge like heavy metal like skulls and crosses and swords type atmosphere, it's really cool.
It sounds like it. What system was this for?
It was for the Famicom.
What?
Came out and it was made by Irem, 1989, And apparently it was planned to be released in the United States because some magazines even got like preview copies of it and played it and you know did previews. But it was canceled maybe because, I don't know, like maybe it was the imagery in it. Like Nintendo would have had to make too many cuts to get rid of like religious imagery or things like that. I mean, it had holy in the title, and at the time, you know, Nintendo was taking out any possible connection to religious imagery in their games, part of their censorship policy. So that's the same reason we didn't.
I suppose.
Yeah, well, it's the same reason we didn't get Devil World, even though it's a Shigeru Miyamoto game. You know,
right, right.
But that
one's ripe with it.
But this game is great, and unfortunately, people have been discovering it lately because it's really been going up in price. You used to be able to get it pretty cheap, but now it's getting expensive. But it's really worth it if you're a fan of like Castle. I mean, there's definitely it almost seems like a Castlevania clone at first, but it's a lot faster paced and. It's hard. It's a hard game. I won't lie. I've beaten only a couple of the bosses, but it's great. To tell you the truth, it's got a little Contra in there too, because you have multi-directional shooting.
Oh, that is cool.
Man, Holy Diver, check it out. I wonder if it's on the Virtual Console. I bet it isn't. But
they Castlevania couldn't get multi-directional chains till like Super Castlevania. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Way to go, Holy
but
Diver.
Yeah, it's got a cool upgrade system. It's fast paced. That's my I guess future retro. And the shame is that I doubt I will ever beat it because it's really really beyond my skill level to play a game like this.
Yeah, remind me to talk on the show in the future about Castlevania Adventure for the Game Boy, which is on my pile of shame, and I'm trying to take off. Of it, so we'll see if I succeed or not. But that game is hard as balls, and I might not make it. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, my future retro is kind of controversial, potentially.
Uh oh.
I've been playing a lot of No Man's Sky.
You mean One Man's Lie?
Oh. I don't know.
Sorry.
I'm enjoying it.
I have no stake in this game, actually. So.
It is getting hammered in the Game Press, and there's like this new game I think it's called Osiris, that like Kotaku or someone like the headline was like, you know, it does everything that No Man's Sky won't or whatever. I'm just like, ah, really? It's not even the same kind of game. What are you doing? Apparently, people wanted like, you know, Eve Online 2 or something when No Man's Sky came out.
No, I mean, I think what people really wanted was what was promised during interviews early in the game's development. I mean, I don't think people were. To tell you the truth, I think if the game had been advertised as what it was, it doesn't seem like that bad of a game. Again, I haven't played it, but I don't have a PlayStation 4, and I don't do PC gaming. So,
well, I have a PS4, and I bought this game. For it was the last copy at the Best Buy. Where I'm gonna, little plug here. I joined their Gamers Club thing for $30 for 2 years, which is really great for my Lego Dimensions collection. By the way, so you get 20% off just about everything. So I got this game for like $50 after taxes. So take that, Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I still pay them $100 a year for free shipping I never use. But all those I've been watching a lot of Doctor Who lately. That'll tie into a future video that I'm hoping to show later at this convention. Woo. If I can get enough of it done. I might show a rough cut. Wait. How about that?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. But I picked up this game mostly on the strength of one of my friends, like really getting into it. And I did not have the benefit or curse, apparently, of knowing much about it before I got it, just except for, you know, how it was. Like, I just wanted a game that sort of showed what it was like to like the wonders of space travel and exploration. And this game does that. I don't want to say perfectly, but it does it very, very, very well. And kind of like Pokemon Go, they've been releasing patches to improve the quality and other issues and stability. Like I think the PC version is a lot worse off, or it was a lot worse off than the PS4 version was. But basically, the game starts. You are in a crash on a spaceship. You don't really have any kind of backstory. You're just like set out to go and fix your ship. So it requires whatever planet you're on, which may or may not have been discovered by someone else already. That's the other thing that I'll get to in a second. But you have to go around with your mining laser and start gathering resources to craft things and fix your ship and recharge the laser, of course, once it runs out. So typically you're in an area where you can figure all that stuff out. And kind of like Pokemon Go, you don't really have a lot of instructions on what you're supposed to be doing. But I sort of found that sense of exploration very, very freeing. And then there are these robots flying around, which I didn't realize were not always your friends. They're called Sentinels, and if you overmine something, they get very angry with you. And I might have escalated a conflict until this massive, like, turret thing tried to blow me up and did eventually kill me. But I did finally fix my ship, or some version of me that was not the one that got killed fixed my ship. And
his brother
took off. So, yeah, his... Are the brothers asteroids? The asteroids are brothers. There was going to be an Asteroids movie. Did that ever come out? I don't think it did. Anyway, that's a really old Penny Arcade joke. So you know, this game progresses in stages, right? So first you have to get your ship airborne, and then you have to collect more resources to actually get out into space, and then you have to collect more resources to jump from star to star. And the point is to get to the center of the galaxy where magic happens, or you just... I don't know. I'm still going through it myself. There are a couple of paths you can take. There's this thing called the Atlas, which is like some kind of godlike computer thing that's supposed to guide you toward the center of the galaxy. Or you can hang out with a couple of aliens called Nada and Polo, who are telling you not to trust the Atlas. And at least in my sector of the galaxy, I'm around a lot of Hykeen. What, Kevin, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm eating black licorice. Is that not acceptable?
That's probably not a good idea right now, no.
Dang it!
You figured that I was going to be talking for a while and you just settle in for a bit?
Yeah, I was about to leave, actually.
My sector of space is controlled by the Hykeen, which are like, you know, a warlike... Klingon, whatever type race, and they don't like the Atlas either. So it was very easy to get pushed into the Nada and Polo way of things, and they will help you find black holes to get the center of the galaxy faster. I've been trying to upgrade my warp drive so I can jump more than a couple star systems at a time, and apparently I found out most recently there's different colored star systems and different types associated with those. So you can go to the yellow ones as you go to the center, and there are like blue and green ones that are you can't get to unless you have a better drive. So I'm like, I don't like grinding, but I'm like finding myself like gathering resources just to sell them, to get a better spaceship, to, you know, find recipes to build a better warp drive. And along the way I am stopping at planets and seeing the exciting new life forms. But like the center of this game is not so much like making your presence known in the galaxy and like having these signposts like I was here and this was great. It's more about like the empty, vast loneliness of existence.
Well, I don't really need a game for that, though. So, do they just? They could just call it Vink Simulator.
Oh no! Well, is that why Jezebel won't review it, because it's called No Man's Sky? They literally put out an article about that, which I'm just like, just call it No One's Sky. I don't care. The name isn't important. The gender is not even specified in the game. Honestly, you are everyone and no one. Although there are apparently other quote-unquote travelers like you out there. But there just comes a point in this game where you realize that you can't, you just have to move on. There was even, if you've played Mass Effect, and so I got to bring it around to Mass Effect. But if you've played Mass Effect, it's like those Mako missions, which I enjoyed, but it's a lot about resource gathering and climbing up sheer cliff faces that should be impossible to do. A lot of like alien artifacts scattered around. So that's what I'm mostly doing in this game. Is I like find like waypoints which allow me to scan for them, and then I go to them. And there's four different races in the game where you can like learn their language. So when you actually talk to aliens, you can understand them. You just build up this like history of like galactic civilization as it currently stands, which I find fascinating. It's all text based. You're doing a lot of reading. But you know, there are things like that in Mass Effect as well. So it's like they took that part of Mass Effect and made that a whole game, which I'm super cool with, honestly. But there's just a lot of variation. You can always trade spaceships with aliens and just keep going on your mission for whatever reason you're doing it. Just having a goal in this game is important, or you would just get lost in the quadrillions of worlds that not everyone on the planet Earth has enough time to explore in the lifetime of the actual universe.
Well, I am very glad that you like it.
I think it's a great buy. You should buy it.
I mean, I might. I need to get a PlayStation 4 first.
Yeah.
And I like space exploration games, although I don't know. I don't know if I could play anything quite that open-ended, because I like to complete games, and if there's
right.
Or universes and planets, then all of civilization will ever explore in all of recorded history. I don't know. But who knows? Let's see.
You can get money from.
You've definitely made it sound more interesting than almost anything I've read about it. So,
to train your game, head over to our show notes at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for additional pictures, video, and bonus audio for this episode. Call us at 608-492-1923 to leave a voicemail for our Dentrymail episodes, or send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter at Famicom Dojo. Consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube for our latest videos about retro, import gaming, and more.
So let's bring it over to the audience. Yep. What do they got to say or ask or do?
Yeah,
comments, questions.
Any questions?
Does anyone
about...
watch our videos?
Yeah.
What?
One or two people. Anyone watching the Summer Dojo?
Sure.
They say. Why not? They say.
I actually have.
Oh, great! Fantastic. Yeah, we're about to wrap it up. As we will do on the next panel at 2:00. Hopefully you'll see some things that you haven't seen before if you haven't been watching, or otherwise you'll definitely see things you have before. But I'm hoping to show you something that you haven't, if I can get it done in the next 3 hours. But I really enjoyed it. I might have mentioned Doctor Who, that should give you a hint. And Phil might have seen some of the stuff already of what I'm talking about. But yeah, does anyone have any questions or any Pokemon Go Home drunk stories they want to share?
Update your Street Pass.
Update my Street Pass, apparently. Yeah, so Street Pass allows you to bank a bunch of Street Passes with people. Up to 100, was it? You can let them into your queue.
Technically more, but it's complicated.
Okay, I don't want to hear it, but right now it's 10 at a time, and you just lose them if you can't get to them right away, which is great for conventions like this. And then secondarily, you can now get more puzzle pieces than just one per person, apparently, which is going to be great for me because I've never been able to catch up because I don't live near other 3DS players.
Wonderful. I live in Japan, so I pass 10 just on my way to work every day.
Exactly, right?
So
there was one person at work who had a 3DS who'd bring it in occasionally, actually a 2DS, and he's no longer working there now, so I'm all alone. But, yeah. Okay, so I guess all the time we have for this week. Thank you, everyone.
You can keep going if you want.
I can? Isn't there?
Yeah. Let's get some questions.
Oh.
Audience.
What?
You have their attention.
Oh, okay. Questions, comments.
What's that?
When will Phil Bond next appear on the podcast?
I don't know when you want to come on again.
It just happened.
Yeah. Wait.
I just heard him, so the answer is now.
When I'm stuck in traffic, have I become traffic, or was it traffic all along?
Does the water get him instead? Nobody knows. Particle Man.
Vink, go home. You're drunk.
Yeah, sir.
I'm already home. You are home.
I'm already home, and I'm already there. So.
I should add, it's been great to be back at the Plaza, and this will be the last convention event that anyone In this particular fan that will be attending here, I think because they're going to be tearing it down. Tear.
What?
Oh, Vink didn't know apparently. Yes, they're tearing it down to make more hospital space for Mayo or whatever.
But my memories.
Whatever. I don't know.
To build a new hospital.
But my memories.
What's that? Yeah, they are very beautiful. I bet one of these could pay for the convention.
Sean.
Yeah.
Sean, if they're gonna be destroying it anyway, steal me the hot tub. I got memories.
A lot of people do, Vink. A lot of people do.
All right. Well, that's a bummer. Someone say something happy.
I like pie
too. Hey, like I mentioned, we have a panel at 2, so if everyone wants to see awesome video stuff, you missed, if you weren't here yesterday, you missed Linkara and I talking about how not to make a YouTube channel. That was a lot of fun. I wish I had gotten that recorded for posterity.
Sorry.
But, well, I didn't think about it either. I didn't have my camera on me even. But I will have it for the next panel, and I'll be doing some weird things. So get ready. Make sure that you are ready to limber up. For training your game. That's all I gotta say. I might have brought a few instruments to help.
Oh man, I really need visuals here because I don't know where this is going.
Yeah. You'll see it later. It'll tie into our final video of the Summer Dojo soon when I can pull it together.
Alright.
Yeah. So I only got mistaken for Spoonie twice. It was very nice. Yep.
Yeah, I got that joke.
Yep. All right. What's that?
Liquid Vink is asleep.
Liquid Vink. Oh, yeah. Oh, so, hey, Vink, you didn't hear about this yet. So,
no.
Nick Izumi is really concerned that he's actually just a clone of you. He must be Liquid Vink. But he doesn't know.
Nick, I saw you on the news.
Yeah. Yeah, he, right? That's the only part of his interview that they actually use. And he talked for a long time, apparently.
What was the quote? I need to look it up. It was so good.
You might have the time of your life, I believe is how it ended.
Yes. Like, you might make a friend. Wait, what was it? You might make a friend. You might watch a video. Yeah. You might have the time of your life. It was
a good quote to pull. Yeah, Nick's currently sleeping. Yeah, he was up super late. Like, he was in the staff room when I left last night.
I relieved him at 7 in the morning.
7? Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, he says he's going to get 4 hours of sleep. So, we'll see how that goes. But he's concerned who Solid Vink is. And I told him, obviously, it's Rob Matsushita. He's very concerned now he has to fight him naked on top of a mech. Not naked, topless. Whatever.
So I now dub you Nickwit Vink.
Wait a minute.
I just
had a whole conversation.
All right, I'm running out of steam, obviously.
Nickwit Vink, approach the microphone. I shall confer some of my power.
He's sleeping.
That's the sound of powers being transferred.
I'm hoping the powers radius is a lot wider. I'm sure he's in the hotel somewhere. So I've been told.
Oh man!
All
we
right.
We are better. We are better taped.
Well, if no one has any questions or Pokemon Go Home Drunk stories, I believe that's all the time we have for this week.
The secret to leveling up a Snorlax.
Yes.
And to walking your Snorlax, buddy, is to just drive slowly around your neighborhood at 10 miles an hour.
Yep. That sounds about right.
You know, I gotta say, I was doing that before this app came out.
Or be here where the GPS is nuts.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, you just walk around, quote unquote, because it can't actually find your location. But you can't go too fast when that happens. So, Pokemon Go Home, you're drunk. Anyway, thanks everyone for coming to the panel and listen to the podcast. I'm starting this up now that the videos are winding down, and maybe we'll finally get that Kickstarter done.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, this year was 25th anniversary of the Super Nintendo, so I'm feeling like
I thought you said 25th anniversary of season 1 of Famicom Dojo.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
I think
next year's the 10th.
The 25th anniversary of when we started teasing this Kickstarter.
Right?
I'm so old, Vink. I remember the time when the kids wouldn't get off my lawn because they were playing Pokemon Go.
I actually have a really, really funny idea for the old man to like get so angry about Pokemon Go, he becomes like the best player in the world just to get all the kids off his lawn. I think that'd be pretty good.
That's a good idea. Let's do that.
Right. Okay.
You are all witnessing the inception right now.
Right? The Vinkception. We just need Nick to show up. All right, so I guess...
Nick Vink?
Nivink?
Nickwid Vink.
Vinink. Vinick.
Get it.
Nickwid Vink.
Nickwid Vink.
Hashtag, not cool.
Oh, fanals. All right, well, until next time then, the dojo is...
The dojo is being torn down to make room for more hospital parking.
Too real, bro.
Sorry, too soon?
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. Find us at famicomdojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.